broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use continues. This is the broadcast for February 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is hour two of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. We believe the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty, put in place by the founders, absolutely brilliant. And the key to success, we don't need a revolution. We do want a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. What we need is pure application of the principles that made America great. If we return to those, America will be great once again. Kirk Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. Without further ado, our guest, Mr. Pete Sapp, National Taxpayers Union. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Always great to be here.
Is it crazy weather going on over there or what?
It's been up and down. We got a whole lot of snow this weekend, at least for the Washington, D.C. area. Now the folks north of us in Boston and elsewhere, they've really gotten hit hard. I'm feeling very, very much compassion for them. We, of course, shut down here in the nation's capital whenever there's 3 or 4 inches of snow on the ground. Those folks have had to contend with 10 times that much in one snowstorm. So we are counting our blessings.
All right. Good for you on that score. A quick story, then we'll get to a lot of what I want to ask you about, Pete. Hang tight. Kirk Crosby, looks like the Constitution Party is backing and joining in a lawsuit in Utah to declare Count My Vote. It's Senate Bill 54 to declare it unconstitutional. Do you have details?
Yep. Yeah, the press release, the Constitution Party has joined the Republican Party. The Republican Party won't like that, by the way. In a lawsuit that seeks to declare unconstitutional Senate Bill 54 enacted by the Utah legislature last year. Among other things, Senate Bill 54 requires political parties to utilize a primary system instead of a caucus and convention system for nominating candidates. The legislation should have been named the Incumbent Protection Act, says Constitution Party Chairman Bryce Hamilton. The new legislation makes it very difficult to defeat an incumbent on a grassroots level, as Senator Bob Bennett was turned out to pasture in 2010. Constitution Party attorney Colin Simonson observes the First Amendment extends special protection to the process by which a political party chooses to select its standard bearer, and in this case, the state has impermissibly interfered with that process. The lawsuit is essential to protect the freedom of association enjoyed by private political parties prior to the enactment of Senate Bill 54. In its, that's the end of its quote there, in its court filings, the Constitution Party's press release continues, asserts that as a small political party, it has a perspective that differs somewhat from the larger Republican Party. Hamilton notes, "We wholly and heartily endorse the GOP efforts against this SB 54, but we realize that the concerns of smaller parties, and particularly the Constitution Party, will on some points differ from the concerns of the GOP."
In other words, we don't agree with them on everything, but we're going to double down on this one because the checks and balances to the electoral process are vital, and by them basically passing S 54, if you want to say it that way, what they've done is they've violated the checks and balances put in place, right, Kurt?
Yep. For example, he finishes up, he says, due to our smaller size in a primary election, our candidate selection could be more easily manipulated by outsiders, and we could easily end up with a Constitution Party candidate that does not in any way embody our platform, our ideals. The Constitution Party of Utah is affiliated with the National Constitution Party based in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. The party first became recognized by the Federal Election Commission as a national party in 1996. Well, anyway, there you go. I call for the abolition of all parties. Amen to that.
What do you say, Pete Sepp? You want to abolish all parties?
Well, I don't know about abolishing all parties, but I do believe in the right of free association. And I think from a taxpayer's perspective, why not allow the parties to put on their own conventions if that's the way they feel they want to select their candidates? I know that obviously, the provision of elections are guaranteed in a number of constitutional documents at the state and federal level, but that doesn't necessarily mean that a political party has to be compelled to hold a primary election to select its own candidates. Let the people vote on those candidates in a general election. If the parties want to select their candidates in some other way, let them do it. It's their right of association.
I believe in the right of association. The founders warned about partisan politics, though, didn't they?
Oh, yes. They, of course, warned about the formation of factions and the like. And we always need to be very careful about that, as well as pay attention to the meaning of that word in its many respects, not just as political parties, but also as political interests, special interests, moneyed interests that often try to influence the political process. And here is not going to be a rant on the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, but rather there is so much money here in Washington, D.C., taken from the productive private sector, all of us, over $3 trillion of it, that's a lot of political power, too, and people fight over it. Industry interests, welfare interests, all types of interests form groups here, and they want their share of tax dollars that have been basically extracted from all of us under threat of legal penalty. That is the source of power here in Washington, D.C. It's all about money.
It's all about money and control via the legal system. Speaking of big money rolling, Kurt, I guess Princeton's in the news for their money, huh?
Well, that's right, Sam. Princeton received a pretty sizable donation. They say it was like $300 million. Now, you know, on the face of it, the headline, you think, wow, $300 million cash. Well, what happened was generous guy kicked a bucket, and he donated his library, which they say is worth $300 million. Now, the good news of the story, at least in my opinion, is that they say that they're, working to put that online, which includes, these ancient, old Bibles and a whole bunch of old different things, and they want to have it available online and more information, good, and bad, is
available.
That
way, Kurt and Pete can go to Princeton,
Yeah.
Right? All right, there you have it. Interesting, though. Big boatload of money. I guess it's their largest donation ever, right, Kurt?
That's correct. But once again, remember, it's not the money, but the contribution of the books and things that this guy had garnered. So, you could say it's the largest donation. I think they should have said in the headline, in kind, because it wasn't cash. Now, they could always sell it, though, I guess,
But good point. Anyway, very interesting indeed. Now, there's a guy by the name of Isaac Luttrell in the news, Kurt, North Dakota lawmaker, right?
Yeah, now, this guy you're not going to hear a whole lot about. The reason being, Sam, is this guy, basically, he said that ISIS... he called Planned Parenthood as rough as ISIS. Now, when you look at the number of people...
He says Planned Parenthood is worse than ISIS.
Yeah, good point. And, you know, basically what he's saying is, hey, Planned Parenthood has been the instigator of deaths or the killer of many babies, and yet somehow they get a pass. In fact, we even fund them with government dollars, and yet the...
They call them tax dollars, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. The ISIS boys, they're the evil ones because they've killed some people, you know. Over time.
We're going to take a quick pause here in a second, but I want to ask Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, about this. This guy's basically saying, hey, you know what? Planned Parenthood and the tax dollars we put towards that killing more than ISIS, and that Planned Parenthood's worse than ISIS. What do you think, Pete Sepp?
Wade into that portion of the debate. I will say this, that there are a lot of groups with controversial views in the American public who receive taxpayer funding. And it was Jefferson, I believe, who said to compel a man to furnish funds for causes with which he disagrees is sinful and tyrannical. I'm paraphrasing there.
All right, so the government's sinful and tyrannical by funding Planned Parenthood, according to that definition. Quick pause. Pete Sepp, NTU with us.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so whether Planned Parenthood is worse than ISIS or not isn't really the point. I personally believe the amount of abortions murdering the most innocent among us is a serious problem in America today. But set that aside for a second, no matter how you feel about Planned Parenthood and or ISIS, the reality is literally millions and millions and millions of my hard-earned family money, your hard-earned family money, going to these causes. No matter how you feel about these causes, it's not the proper role of government to force the funding of this, the taking of my money and putting it into these projects and agendas, no matter what side of the issue you're on, Pete Sepp. I submit we lower taxes and get out of these controversial issues by not forcing me to fund it.
Well, yes, and this can prompt, I think, a useful debate about government's priorities. There are lots of examples of these controversies occurring throughout the federal budget. For example, we tend to provide a great deal of funding to the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. The OECD has advocated an agenda for the United States of higher taxes, more spending, new social programs that could be very difficult to afford in the near future. In fact, our foundation did a study on OECD's agenda, determined that its prescriptions for America would cost tens of billions of dollars additional each year in the federal budget. You've got other examples in the Department of Labor, which gives grants to labor unions, and as does the Department of Health and Human Services, to provide certain social service functions. And yet there have been just a string of accusations that the unions themselves might actually, because money is fungible, be allowed to offset their lobbying expenditures with grants like these. In other words, they by getting these kinds of grants, that gives them more resources to pour into lobbying the federal government for their own agenda. So it's almost an indirect way of enabling their lobbying for larger government. I mean, there is a whole list of items like these that taxpayers ought to be concerned about.
And let me tell you why I focus on this, Pete Sepp, and kind of why I backed into the questions the way that I did. I know you're part of an organization that doesn't really take on political controversial issues. Your goals are to lower taxes, appropriately deal with these issues, to use taxes that follow the supreme law of the land, to reject taxes that are you know, kind of skirt the law, et cetera, et cetera. And so your goal is to have tax accountability and to reduce taxes and to fund the proper role of limited government based on the rule of law. Hopefully that's not a mischaracterization, but that's my understanding. That's what NTU does, right?
That's right.
Okay, so the reason I back you into this discussion like this, though, is because that's what they're starting to do to all these politicians. Scott Walker's being attacked over abortion, over gay marriage, over this, over that, over his trying to dismantle a lot of the unions, which really amount to attacks on the people because it's funded by government. It's controlled by forcing people to pay dues. And really, the tax situation is no different than these discussions. A lot of these politicians not very successful in staying out of that fray, but yet trying to demand the proper role of limited government. How do we help them?
Yes. Well, I think the first thing to do is for us to provide useful input to members of Congress over this topic. All the time, we need to be saying, look, set aside the social implications of many of these issues you're discussing. Can you at least agree that there is a substantial divide of opinion on both sides of an issue, so much so that Congress shouldn't even consider providing funding for any types of programs at taxpayer expense that might even worsen the controversy? Why not just allow it to be debated in the public square and funded through private sources? You know, these are the kinds of things, again, we need to be having a structured debate over the proper role of government. And we wouldn't even be getting into these questions if we'd had that debate a long, long time ago, or if we'd at least remembered the enumerated powers of our Constitution rather than set them aside and funded things that the founding fathers would just be shaking their heads at today.
How do we stay out of that fray? It seems like everything you do is so politically manipulated that it's almost impossible to, even with the best of intentions, make a statement. And this is biblical proportions. They take advantage of someone because of their words. They manipulate what you say. They take part of what you say. For example, Scott Walker really tried to reduce the size of the unions. He really tried not to back or focus on backing Barack or Obamacare, whatever you want to say. Now they basically came back because he increased some Medicare stuff, because I think he had to. Otherwise, the citizens go ballistic that, you know, he's against them. But then they now say he's for Obamacare, that he's and so the problem is the record gets so distorted and so manipulated. How do we bring these people to the table with realistic discussions with a hope of a solution-oriented outcome?
First thing to do is for citizens to take a look at what some of the options are for reducing and controlling federal spending and taxes, bringing government back to its proper role. Of course, I would direct them to my own organization's website at ntu.org. Lots to review there. Lots of options. Just recently, last week, our Taxpayers Tab newsletter, that's a weekly e-newsletter, discussed options for reducing the size of the federal workforce, bringing it back down to a fiscally manageable level. And it discussed some legislation in Congress that would say, look, for every person you want to hire that's new in the federal government, you're going to have to allow three positions to be eliminated. And that kind of hiring practice will, over time, ratchet down the size of the federal government. Several billion dollars in savings each year from a piece of legislation like that. If we start talking numbers and say, look, here is the situation. I know it's easy for our eyes to glaze over when we talk about trillions and billions and millions of dollars, but that's what the type of discussion that needs to happen in this country, and we need to have it. We have to start getting into actual numbers of what the deficit's going to do over the next 10 years, where the taxes are going to come from to meet that deficit, or how we're going to chart a different course that will avoid a disastrous tax increase.
And the beauty about talking about reducing, say, the amount of workers in the government workforce is, it's not left-right. It's not Republican-Democrat. It's not very controversial. It just simply says, look, we cannot afford the gargantuan government payroll. And if we're going to ever have a prayer to reduce taxes, we're going to have to reduce that payroll. Isn't it that simple?
Yes. Yes. It's about making choices. And we have not done that in our government for many, many years. I was reading an interesting article this morning about Republican efforts to try and address the impending bankruptcy of the so-called trust fund of the disability program in Social Security. We're not talking about the retirement program in Social Security. This is the program for those who are unable to work because of some kind of medical disability. That so-called trust fund is going broke in the year 2016. Now, we can set aside for a moment discussions of whether that trust fund is really a trust fund. I think that when government names things trust funds, they are just cleverly appropriating private sector terminology for their own ends. But setting that aside for the moment, the Republican plans for rescuing the so-called disability trust fund are so nebulous right now that we have to force them to make some more choices and have an honest discussion with us.
All right, hang tight, Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. The point, ladies and gentlemen, here is to avoid these divisive issues and falling into a trap where nobody wins. Find ways to focus on solutions that everybody in their right mind should be aboard with. Pete Sepp, NTU, with us in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
So just who will you meet at the Get Prepared Expo? For starters, John Moore, John Stadtmiller, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Aaron Dakins, Brad Dakins, and me, Vincent Finelli. Joining us, just to name a few, are the senior instructors, medical doctor Norman Shealy, engineer Matt Stein, the real Fox Mulder of the X-Files, physicist Dr. Richard Allen Miller, author Captain John Reagan, counterterrorist Mike Ma, author Rich Sheban, and the CSPOA founder, Sheriff Richard Mack. You'll learn how water wells work, how to buy gold and silver quietly, discreetly, and privately. Learn the importance of good health and how to care for your loved ones. Learn alternative medicines, overcoming anxiety, stress, high blood pressure, and alternative cancer treatments. You'll have access to more doctors, more authors, more talk show hosts than any event we know of. The Get Prepared Expo, the last weekend in March, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. The goal is to avoid the controversial issues, not that we're afraid of them, but look, all it does is make it impossible to get anything done, which is what they love. The answer is to focus on clear, concise issues that we can all agree on. We need less taxes. We need less government. We need less money out of your wallet and in the hands of government to spend as they so-called choose. And that's a very simple thing that I think most people, I don't care where you come from, which side of the aisle, et cetera, you could be from. What are we talking about, $35 billion or $135 billion in an effort to reduce the amount of workers that work at the federal government? How many people work at the federal government, Pete Sepp?
$35 billion worth of savings is the amount identified in the taxpayers tab newsletter. And, you know, the progress of federal hiring has been uneven depending upon which federal department you're talking about. But interestingly, it was the Government Accountability Office that found that the non-postal civilian workforce grew by almost 60,000 employees between 2004 and 2012. It was just three agencies, Departments of Defense, Homeland Security, and Veterans Affairs, that accounted for 94% of that increase. Well, some would say that's natural because of the military operations in the Middle East that have been occurring. Still, what about the fact that we might want to try and balance those increases in the federal workforce with reductions elsewhere in other departments. What do we actually need that many more employees in a Department of Homeland Security when there have been report after reports saying that places like the Transportation Security Administration are in bad need of fiscal reform? You know, those are all questions we ought to be asking.
Well, and when you think about Homeland Security, on one hand, we can discuss the amount of trim we should give to that. But really, we could even say, do we even need Homeland Security? America ran very successfully for 225 years or plus without Homeland Security even existing. Most people don't realize Homeland Security is only, 12 years old or something right now? We could live without the whole thing, right?
Yeah, that was a creation of President George W. Bush. And, of course, the promise was that this would consolidate all of the Homeland Security functions of the various federal departments. Oh, you know, in the Department of Transportation or the Department of Defense's civilian areas, perhaps other departments that had some kind of function involving Homeland Security, they'd consolidate it all, get rid of the overlapping personnel and bureaucracies, and it would run a lot more efficiently.
It sounded good. Did they lie?
Well, if they didn't lie, then they were certainly far too optimistic of the prospects of this. And they should have known, because this was the same way, for example, that other creations of cabinet-level federal departments have been sold. Well, if we just consolidate all of the energy or education policies of the various departments, why, we'll get rid of a lot of bureaucracy and have it run more efficiently. Did not happen with the creation of the Departments of Energy and Education. Usually, these departments are created because a given president wants to focus the public's attention on a single issue, and that president wants to be seen as doing something about the issue.
Well, it's usually an answer to a crisis, isn't it?
It always means, yes, and it almost always means take out your checkbooks, American taxpayers, you're about to shell out some more.
All right, how much cuts in your $135 billion plan to reduce the size and scope of the government workforce, how much would reduce in the IRS sector? That's an area we need to reduce, but as far as I understand, they're on a crazy hiring spree, right?
Well, and this is an interesting commentary. The IRS's budget has been a great source of controversy in Washington. There are some who say, well, in inflationary terms, IRS expenditures have actually been dropping since at least the year 2010. And that seems to be the case. The IRS's budget has been shrinking somewhat. Part of the problem, part of the reason that has been happening, though, has been the IRS's own behavior. The fact that we have had slow-walking nonprofit exemption applications and expenditures on conferences involving Star Trek parodies. All of these things mounted up against the IRS and caused Congress to cut back on the agency's budget. Now the agency is saying, well, we don't have enough money to give taxpayers telephone assistance or process refunds quickly enough. What we're talking about here, even if we look at the inflation-adjusted numbers, is something less than a 10% reduction in funding. And again, this is not only the IRS's problem, this is Congress's problem. If we give the IRS a simpler tax system to administer, we won't need a budget of more than $12 billion just for this agency, and we won't be forcing the private sector, all of us, as individuals and businesses, to shell out more than $200 billion a year just to comply with the tax system.
Well, instead of simplifying the tax system, though, all they're doing is hiring agents in the IRS to basically ramp up for the enforcement of Obamacare, though, right?
Well, that's a big problem. The agency has had to engage in a whole new area of administration when it comes to Obamacare, and they still are not prepared to enforce large aspects of the law. I mean, many citizens might be saying, well, that's a good thing. The problem is, if the agency is unprepared, It will engage in a lot of haphazard rulemaking and, worse, arbitrary behavior that's going to end up hurting citizens, not helping them. I'm talking about the IRS having to retool its computers, retrain its people, hire more people, come up with whole new sections of rulemaking behind all the statutes just to do things like figure out how to define household income, whether you qualify for the subsidies to participate in the exchanges. How are we going to verify whether or not you have sufficient coverage so you don't pay that individual penalty? All of these questions have been being, they've been getting asked for now four, almost 5 years since the passage of Obamacare, and we still don't have complete, thorough answers.
Nevertheless, folks are getting penalized every day.
Yes, yes. And we find, for example, the most recent scandal was 800,000 people have been given the wrong information to supply on their tax returns for claiming the Obamacare exchange subsidies. So that's a major problem. Add to that all the confusion over whether people actually owe the individual mandate penalties, and the fact that a lot of people are going to have to give back some of the subsidies that they applied for during this filing year because their previous subsidy applications were based on a formula of what they paid on their tax returns in previous years. Now they have to adjust it for what they actually pay, and that could mean many people, millions potentially, might have to pay money back to the tax agency. That's going to be a rude awakening.
Now, a lot of people were basically hoping that the Republicans would do something to back their way out of Obamacare, that would they would really shut it down. The House has what passed, I think it's H.R. 259 or 596, has passed H.R. 596. Now we're urging the Senate to abolish Obamacare and back the House bill and get it done. Whether they will or not, I don't know. Now they've got super majorities, if you will, in both houses. They've got no better opportunity than now. But most of the people across the country now have kind of felt like the Republicans aren't going to get it done. They don't really want to get rid of Obamacare. They just want their own flavor of Obamacare. And so do you think we'll get rid of it? Then a lot of other people say, golly, this is going to be such a tax burden, such a financial burden. Don't worry. We don't even need Congress to get rid of it. It's going to implode all by itself because of the tax burdens. What do you think is going to be the reality with this thing, Pete?
The law will indeed collapse in on itself, but we can't afford to wait that long to simply stand by. I think that the individual mandate penalties, for example, those are burdensome in this filing year. $95 per person in the household. It's capped at a flat amount or 1% of the household's income. But in another 2 years, that amount is going to be a lot higher. We also have some of the surtaxes that have been kicking in only recently. Those are very complex. Those are going to start taking their toll. So key elements of the law are going to make it much more difficult over time to sustain the revenues needed to fund it and keep it simple enough so that people can understand it. So,
Pete Sepp with us. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Final segment, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Obamacare. And the bottom line is the law, according to Pete Sepp, is going to implode on itself, but it's going to take a long time. We better get aggressive in dealing with this thing because, man, it's going to just be a nightmare for most Americans. Even people who are getting insurance who didn't have insurance before, even with the discounts, a lot of them can't even afford the premiums that they'll be required to pay. And if they don't pay, it gets canceled. Right, Pete?
Yes, yes. And there are all kinds of questions of just how this is going to work in the long term, whether the projections for spending under the law are still going to hold correct, and how some of the revenue collections are going to happen. I think, for example, that even the revenues that members of Congress were expecting from the increase in taxes on tanning establishments are not going to come through in the way that they expected. Same with the individual mandate penalties. These things, they keep getting kicked down the road, basically, by lawmakers who don't want to face any political consequences from angry So they just say, well, we'll suspend it for another year, or we'll modify this provision so it doesn't take effect for a few more years. The real problem is if this law were implemented fully as intended right here and right now, there would be a whole lot more public outcry. And I've often said to myself, well, we certainly don't want to have people suffering any more than they have to under this law. If only they knew, though, the full implications of it. And that's where groups like mine come in to try and educate.
All right. Next story, Rand Paul's in the news about out of the Fed. Kurt?
Well, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is probably nothing new to some of the close watchers that Rand Paul wants to audit the Fed, but they are, kind of twisting things. They say he's mulling attaching his audit the Fed legislation to a vote to raise the debt ceiling. That's what his spokesman, Brian Darling, told The Hill. He fully expects to get a vote on the measure in the Senate this year, and there are numerous options to getting a bill passed by itself or combined with other legislation They say the strategy going forward, Mr. Darling said, will be to use regular order. If regular order does not work, audit the Fed would be a great amendment to a debt limit increase or any other piece of must-pass legislation that hits the Senate floor. They say the move is a clear signal of how serious he, Mr. Rand Paul, is about getting a vote. Fed Chairwoman Janet Yellen and other top Fed officials have maintained for years that the bill would undermine the central bank's independence and politicize its actions. Anyway, Mr. Rand Paul still working on that.
Pete Sepp, yeah. What do you think? Try to audit the Fed and tie it to the debt ceiling votes? What do you think?
We absolutely should have audit the Fed legislation. Should have happened long ago. This is a bipartisan opportunity for cooperation. I think if you take a look at some of the Democratic and even socialist co-sponsors and supporters of the legislation in the past, Bernie Sanders, the self-avowed independent socialist senator from Vermont, is in support of audit the Fed legislation. I think this is a great opportunity for lawmakers who are concerned about transparency of all political persuasions to come together and say, let's pass this. Should it be attached to a debt ceiling vote? Well, I tend to think that legislation ought to go through regular order. If there is no other opportunity, this still does have some relevance to the debt ceiling that might justify it being attached to
the legislation. Well, and the idea here is we're not going to shut down the government, but we are going to make some hard decisions, right?
Yes, yes. And the Fed, of course, is a great enabler of Congress's and the president's borrowing habits. The Fed has bought up U.S. debt securities in the past by the hundreds of billions, even the trillions of dollars. So this is not something that would be totally unrelated or irrelevant to the Federal Reserve. There is a question when we debate things like the debt ceiling of the Federal Reserve's role here. And then if we're going to do that, then we have to think about accountability and transparency at the Federal Reserve.
Rand Paul goes on the Glenn Beck program, Kurt.
Well, that's right. I guess, he was complaining, I guess you could say rightly so, and venting about the Federal Reserve kind of going after him. I guess Fed Chairman Donald Cohn said that there is essentially no credit risk on the Federal Reserve's balance sheet right now. Rand Paul answered and says, when they say there's no credit risk, they created $4.5 trillion to buy these bad mortgages, so is there no risk in creating it? Brings up the idea of favoritism, he calls it, Rand Paul does. He says, is there any conflict of interest? Are any of these assets, so-called assets, which are sometimes bad car loans, bad home loans, etc., owned by friends of theirs? He says, I mean, Bear Stearns is bailed out. Lehman Brothers isn't. Does that have anything to do with who runs the bank or who owned the banks? So I guess you could say they might give special
Well, my question is Glenn Beck going to help Rand Paul out of the Fed now or what?
Good question, Sam.
What do you think, Pete? Is Glenn Beck going to help out at the Fed?
Oh, and I think that given the views he's expressed in the past, this would be a good fit for Glenn Beck to get involved with and say, this is something we need to do for the good of our financial system as well as fiscal policy.
Well, I sure hope that absolutely happens because that would be kind of the shot in the arm necessary to audit the Fed. And I'm not really for the debt ceiling increase, but I am saying, hey, tying those two things together really has appropriate ramifications. It's like, hey, if we're going to ever get into debt, if we're going to ever spend money, you better get a handle on where that money is being spent. And the only way to do that is with an audit of the Fed saying, hey, what money has gone where to who, when, how, where, why? I mean, that's what they would do in the private sector, right, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely so. And I know there are those who argue that in central banking, you have to have a certain element of confidentiality. It's very important when they're cutting deals over trading securities and whatnot. Yes, fine, but that doesn't preclude the opportunity to shed a little more light on the who, what, when, where, and how, as you said it, Sam. And if we're to have confidence in the financial system going forward, and it's been pretty badly shaken, we need an audit like this, not just of the Federal Reserve's finances, but we need auditable financial statements for the entire federal government. We are getting close, but the big offender there is the Department of Defense, still not auditable in any meaningful sense right now. So there has to be a lot of activity for oversight going on very soon, and it's got to be thorough.
But what we oftentimes do in government is we pretend it's a matter of national security or classified information, when really all that is a manipulation tactic to jettison transparency. There is a legitimate need for some of that protection and classified and whatever information. The problem is they drive a truck through it and they play games with reality on that. We can have transparency and national security. They can coexist if we have honest people at the helm, sir.
Yes, and I've heard from a number of whistleblower advocates, for example, and they make the excellent point that too much secrecy can actually backfire and endanger our national security. That's definitely the case.
Well, we've been acting like China's our best friend, most favored nation trading partner, and then saying it's a national security scenario, but again, that kind of falls into that example, right?
Well, yes, and of course, when agencies get so secretive that they begin classifying information and hiding it from each other, they stop communicating with each other, and important patterns get missed that might allow us to thwart terrorist attacks or see moves coming from rogue nations that we ought to be paying closer attention to. So too much secrecy can be as harmful as too little.
And ladies and gentlemen, there is a balance for honest people between transparency and national security or classified information, etc. But really what you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is work at all levels to reduce taxes. I think any sane American could say that's a sound solution to rein in out-of-control government, is to reduce the size and scope via their finances. Lowering taxes, the goal of the National Taxpayers Union. Would love all of you to be partners with NTU.org to become part of the solution. They have local programs they can help partner with you on. They can bring their research to bear to help you in your local area or your state, and they would love to be your partner, NTU.org. Final thought, Pete?
Absolutely. We are standing by to help anyone who wants to start out in our taxpayer movement at the local level. And that's where you can often do the most good, taking a look through your city budget, demanding accountability from officials on how various positions are filled, taking a look at salaries. All this is important.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's a wrap. Pete Sett, my friend. Godspeed. We'll chat soon.
Take care.
There he goes. Pete Sepp doing a great job, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, a lot of people believe fighting for America is a lost cause. I, for one, shall never give up. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore our grand old republic. It is restoration, not revolution, that is the answer. It is the checks and balances put in place by our founders. It is morality in the people where the solutions lie. You want to turn your phone into a radio? 712-432-5339 gets it done. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.